You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Morena e te whanau, kei te whakarongo mai nei ki te reo irirangi pōho. You're on 95BFM Breakfast. We have got filmmaker, big TV nerd, wonderful all-round human, Alexander Gander in the studio. Kia ora, how are you this morning?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
It's nice to have you here. I am saying big TV nerd because you did used to be our Viewmaster back in the day.
I did, yeah. Do you guys still run the Viewmaster seminar?
Oh, we do. We absolutely do.
Giving
yeah.
away that I don't listen to BFM anymore.
That's all right. That's all right.
I'm
we still
RNZ
love you. you've made the big sibling step almost.
Yeah, I grew up. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's good to have you in here to talk about a very wonderful, very sort of a strange world that you've been stepping into recently.
Yes.
Tell us a wee bit about what Every Word Counts is all about, Alex.
Well, it's about the world of competitive Scrabble playing.
Incredible.
Which, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners would know that there is even a world of competitive Scrabble playing?
It's something I'd imagine exists overseas, knowing it's in New Zealand, not something I was aware of.
That's really true. It is really big in some slightly unexpected places. Africa, massive in Africa. I think they've had world champions out of Nigeria, Kenya, places like that. And I think there are state-sponsored programs to get really good at
Amazing.
Scrabble. Southeast Asia, it's huge. Some of the biggest tournament prize money is in Bangkok and other places in Southeast Asia.
Wow.
America, it's pretty big too. There are quite a few really good American players. But the scene I would say is modest in New Zealand.
Nice.
Oh, it's quite big in Australia as well, actually, I would say. I think there's a tournament every weekend, if you're willing to travel.
Love it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got interested in the competitive world of Scrabble. What caught your attention?
Well, I play Scrabble myself, love Scrabble. I think it is the great board game.
Nice.
I sort of had got to the point where I couldn't really play my friends or family anymore because...
Got too good.
I'm sorry in advance for this, but I was too good. Yeah.
Just flexing on them all the time with words, not just using chi and the easy high scoring, slightly controversial ones in the Scrabble dictionary.
It's about, I'm not going to be able to remember off the top of my head, but there's about 80 to 90 two-letter words.
Wow.
Once you bank all those, which, it doesn't take too long. You kind of have to join a club after that, unless you're playing with people who also know them. And then there are about 2,000 threes, which I'm still working on, but that's hard to learn that many three-letter words.
That's a lot of words, yeah.
Yeah. So then I sort of stumbled into a competitive game one day and learned that Scrabble clubs exist.
I love that.
And joined one.
And There are so many questions I have about this because I think, having a hobby, having something that is a competitive hobby as well is one thing. But there are people who take this very, very, very seriously. It's quite a lifestyle almost for some.
Big time. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's so interesting you say that because I have thought a lot about the nature of hobbyism, especially through the making of this film. What constitutes, I wouldn't say that the film is necessarily about this, but it's certainly something that was in my brain as I was processing the ideas of the film in general. What constitutes a hobby? Is it something that you're able to sort of get good at? Is it something that you're just doing exclusively for your pleasure? And I would say for almost all competitive Scrabble players, the drive is to get better.
Interesting.
And that's why it's so enticing because you can always improve.
Yes.
And I don't think that that is really what a hobby is about. I think a hobby has to be exclusively for you. You know? But people do really, really take this so seriously. It is because also there's no prize money in New Zealand, really. The amounts are just kind of cute.
Yeah.
So you only are playing for credibility. You're only playing for clout, right?
Nice.
You're only, and your own sort of benchmarks of how good you can get.
So that's a nice personal goal to have to be striving for, but also good community recognition as well. That's always a big thing.
Totally, yeah. And, it's so pleasurable. And an embrace of any Scrabble curious listeners out there. When you first join, it's so fun because you get so good so quickly.
Yes.
yeah, then you sort of plateau and you kind of realize where your natural talents lie and that maybe you might not be God's gift to Scrabble.
It feels like everybody hits that humbling stage with anything that they've got, you know, recently interested in. There's all the charts of your learning and then the plateauing and then, you know, creeping back up again.
Yeah, like anything, you learn, I think, when it is just work after that, you know. It's just like you only get good for, like how much work you're willing to put into it. And that, I think, is sort of what is distinct about the subjects of the documentary. We follow three people and they're all just willing to put so much work into getting good.
So who are you following? Who are these people and what sort of are their angles into Scrabble?
We follow Dylan Early, who is probably in the top 100 in the world. He's sort of hovers around the like fourth, fifth best player in New Zealand. Really incredible Scrabble player. We follow a guy called Lawson Su, who I play with in the Mount Albert Club. Shout out Lawson. He's the greatest. He is sort of a little, like, not quite as good, still plays in that top tier, but he's sort of 15th-ish. And then Laura sort of emerged over the course of the film as really the hero. She is sort of a Scrabble outsider. It was her first national tournament.
Oh, wow.
And she kind of is around the 60 to 70 range. So they all, you know, they all live in different parts of the country. We wanted a really wide cross-section.
Yeah.
To sort of showcase the ambit of competitive Scrabble across the motu. And they're all kind of like wonderful in their own ways. We don't really have a villain, you know, which I
no
sometimes...
No Scrabble villains.
No, I know. And it was we thought a lot about that because, you know, every great story needs conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is conflict, but
it's
emerges...
Internal?
Yeah, yeah. It does emerge in really surprising ways.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, that's something so interesting about the game itself is that it's such a community-focused game. The spirit is so convivial, and yet it's based on opposition. Like, it's based
so
on...
So interesting.
Yeah. And not just like... Not just, oh, you won, I won. It's like, I'm going to destroy you. You're going to be embarrassed that you ever decided to play Scrabble.
And then everyone has a biscuit and a cup of tea afterwards.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. The best kind of community.
The biscuits are important. You know, yes. The club rooms around the country are well stocked.
Hard out. For anyone who's listening and is like, first of all, I love Scrabble. I'm better than everyone I know. How do I go and get involved with a Scrabble club? I feel like you're the right person to ask.
Totally, yeah. The Mount Albert Scrabble Club meets every week on Monday nights.
Love it.
Right next to the Mount Albert War Memorial Hall. Come along at 7 and just scream the word Scrabble and I'll come find you. Or just Google it. You know, you can also just do that. Is there a university Scrabble club? Maybe somebody could text in and tell us.
Yeah, please. 5395. University Scrabble club feels like a thing that should exist.
Oh, absolutely should. And if somebody out there wants to start one and, like, you know, wants some club support, like, you know, I know it sounds very kitschy, kind of quaint when we talk about it, but, you know, if anybody out there thinks that they might get what the Scrabble players call the bug, like I would encourage you to do it. It's so rewarding.
I think also one thing that's lovely and also lovely about wanting to tell this story, Alex, is that anybody who has a community that's based around something quite specific understands the specialness of that.
Totally.
And I think, you know, it's sort of can sound, as you said, maybe quaint or funny to be like, oh, it's people who are obsessed with Scrabble or whatever. Mm-hmm. But actually, isn't it lovely to care so much about something and also to have all these people who also feel the same way?
Totally. I couldn't agree more. And I think that's something that, since the film has been out, has been a strong point of reception, that everybody has remarked upon how much it feels like a kind of labor of love. It's not a sort of lens, and I was obviously very careful of this, but there was probably no danger of it because I'm in the world anyway.
Yeah.
I was always very careful not to sort of be like, look at these weirdos. Part of that emerges naturally, you know, when you are just learning quite how much people are willing to sacrifice their time to play Scrabble. There are a lot of other Scrabble documentaries out there that do have a sort of more like leering kind of,
this kooky.
Can you believe these crazy people? And, you know, there are some wild characters out there in the world of competitive Scrabble, but I really wanted this to be more like a sports film.
Yeah, totally.
I wanted this to be for you to be invested deeply in the journey of the characters.
Amazing. Alex, thank you so much for speaking with us about Every Word Counts. It's up on the spin-off now. That's probably the easiest place to find
it. Totally, you can see it there.
It's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. We will see you soon.
Thanks for having me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.